With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
This is the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk on every team in the NHL.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Bolts Broadcast. I'm Mike Mitchelson. Chase Groshaw joining me. Chase, how are we doing today?
Doing pretty good, actually. You know, 2-0 start to the season. We'll talk a little bit more about game number two later on the show. We talked about game one already. But yeah, good start to the year. A little bit of a break coming up for some reasons we'll talk about. I'm sure reasons that you guys know. But yeah, all in all, doing good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good as well. We had a fun night last night, hanging out with some of the boys. For all of you listening, if you are listening on release, it's a Monday. It's a new week. We hope you have a good week going forward, a great week going forward, shall I say. I'm starting school here soon. I think Wednesday is my first class. Obviously, MLK Day on Monday. Schools give that off to students to, recognize what a great thing MLK has done for our country. A happy MLK Day, too. But we're going to be talking some hockey today, Chase. Very excited about that. We're going to be talking, of course, the Tampa Bay game that we haven't mentioned yet. And then we're also going to be talking about some rookie talk, because who doesn't love rookies?
Facts, though, facts.
All right, but Chase, before we start with that, we have to do some news, some little bit of updates. Obviously the season has started, but we got to talk about some retirements. Jay Bouwmeester and Jimmy Howard have both retired. Two guys that, we haven't mentioned yet, their retirements, and we're doing that now.
Yeah, so I remember Jay Bouwmeester obviously had the health issues. It was kind of a long shot he was going to play anyway. And I remember Jimmy Howard, once he left Detroit, saying he wanted to continue to play somewhere. Apparently he got no interest. So both guys, they're excited to hang it up. Both had great careers. Jay Bouwmeester, 17 seasons, and I think Jimmy Howard was 13 or 14 seasons. So, great careers by both players. Not Hall of Famers, just guys that, they made good impacts around the league, and they'll be remembered.
Yeah, absolutely. And Jimmy Howard, we know a little bit more about him because we are in the Detroit area, obviously a longtime Detroit Red Wing. A good guy, a solid goaltender as well. So it's nice to see him moving on, going to, different paths, a different pasture in his upcoming career, whatever that may be. So congratulations to both of them. Both great careers, like Chase mentioned. Next, we talk about some disciplinary action as Sammy Blais has been suspended.
Yeah, so, first night of action, Sammy Blais catches a 2-game suspension for a hit-to-head on Von Taves. It wasn't very good-looking. It was a dirty hit, very much worthy of suspension. It's tough to start off your year that way. Sammy Blais, he's a skill player, but he plays the game the right way. Usually, he plays hard. He tries to play the team game while having a lot of finesse. Ended up kind of, biting him in the butt here, getting that suspension. But, if he's going to continue to play physical, he's not going to keep going headhunting. He's not just around headhunting on the ice. I'm sure St. Louis will look at suspension, take the 2 games, but then move on and be happy with the way he plays.
Yeah, a little bit unfortunate for St. Louis as a whole. Sammy Blais, a very nice player for them. And, this is something that obviously he'll learn from, as, suspensions are for that exact reason. So unfortunate that happened. However, both parties should be coming out just okay. Next up, Chase, Jared McCann, he got fined $10,000. And boy, that's a chunk of change when we're thinking about, us. But to a professional hockey player, that's not too bad.
No, it's really not. I don't know what the comparison is. But you know, it'd be like a maybe $100 fine, maybe even less. Like it's really like not too bad. You know, I'm sure obviously he doesn't want to pay it up, but if you don't want to pay it up, don't elbow people. Pretty plain and simple, honestly. You know, there's already been a couple hits that have been either reviewed or thought about being reviewed by the NHL. So, you know, starting off the year this way, just like watching the games that I watch a lot of really physical hockey games. I was not really expecting that. And, you know, like these two supplementary discipline actions, I guess is the word. I don't know how the word to use, are kind of examples of, you know, the kind of hockey that's been played so far. I hope it continues, dude. Like they've been really entertaining games so far with how physical they've been. There's been skill, of course, too, but I love it.
Okay, perfect, because that was exactly what I was going to ask you next. Obviously, watching some games, we haven't been able to watch all of them, and obviously there's only been, what, 5 days of hockey since we started back up? Maybe only four? I think it's, yeah, only four so far. Your overall thoughts, you said entertaining, physical. How about from some of the skill players? Have you seen anyone start off a little bit slow that you want to see a little bit more out of? Have you seen a player that's not a rookie jump off to a hot start that you've been really impressed with? Give me some thoughts on how the games have looked overall and maybe some players that you've had your eye on as well.
Well, I want to start with, like, the one name that really sticks out to me in this whole thing, Joel Farabee. He's not listed as a rookie on, like, the NHL's list. I don't remember how many games he played last year. I thought he was a rookie. I don't know. I could just be losing it. But, you know, he had, I'm not going to say it was 4 points first game of the year. You know, hell of a way to start the year. But when you go away from him, you know, in terms of guys, they're just, like, I'll just, you know, talk about some of the point leaders in the league right now. Like, Leon Draisaitl, Travis Konechny, John Tavares, Steven Stamkos, Connor McDavid. All guys tied for 5 points. Obviously, you know, we watched Dammer. He's looking good. He missed pretty much all the playoffs last year because of injury. But he was told to be, or said to be healthy this year. He's looking healthy. He's looking great. We really need that with Kucherov out of the lineup. But, you know, besides that, the two Edmonton boys and McDavid and Draisaitl, they look fantastic as always. They're going to be a deadly combo. It just sucks that the rest of their team is so shitty, really, to put it. But, like, I can't really think of anybody off the top of my head who's been like concerning how bad they've been so far or anything like that. Is there anybody for you?
So there was one team in specific and one player that I really just haven't noticed from this specific team. And that would be the Pittsburgh Penguins, who I had just out of playoffs. They versed Philly twice. They're actually playing the Washington Capitals right now. And one of those players is Evgeny Malkin. I feel like I just haven't seen him on the ice whatsoever. Obviously, as a Tampa show, I could be missing something. Maybe he's out of the lineup for some reason that I just didn't know about. I just have not noticed him at all on the ice.
I feel like we would have heard a name like that being out of the lineup. You know, like everyone knew Kucherov's out of the lineup. You know Malkin's out of the lineup. So I'm sure he's just been invisible. You know, regardless, it's early in the year. Guys get out to slow start sometimes. It's really not a big deal. It's something that you need to sweat over. You know, some guys get out to slow start, some guys get out to hot starts, but it usually ends up all kind of evening out anyway.
Yep, so I just looked it up. Evgeny Malkin has been in the lineup for the first two games and in the game today as well. But it seems like Evgeny Malkin has kind of always been a slow starter, at least from what I can remember. Obviously, he's kind of like a train, you know. He starts to go and, you know, he starts picking up pace. And once he gets to his full pace, then you can't really stop him. So we'll see if that continues or maybe it's the downfall of the Penguins. Obviously, they've had a tremendous team, a playoff contender, a cup contender for over a decade now, and their star players are starting to get old. They don't really have as much depth as some of the top teams like our Tampa Bay Lightning. So this could be the end of the Penguins dynasty. Could you see that happening, or do you think it's just a slow start? It's Crosby and Malkin. They're going to be fine.
I would lean towards slow start, just like the history of the team, you know, how good they've been with Crosby and Malkin on the team. You want to go with the proven, you know, kind of thing, I guess. So I would say it's a slow start. It could be kind of the beginning of the end. They're obviously getting towards the tail end of their careers. They're slowing down a little bit. This is the first time in, I was on the NHL Network, the first time in I don't know how many years that their panelists didn't have Crosby a consensus ranked one or two in the league. He was ranked number seven, I think, for them. I would still put him as a top, like, 3 to 5 player in the league, though, personally. regardless, he is slowing down a little bit. He's still going to be a fantastic player, still going to be one of the best, if not the best in the league. But I really don't know. It's just too early to tell in the season. I need a couple more games, kind of see how things are going along.
Yeah, and I'm just really hoping that there isn't a coaching change, because anyone out there listening that doesn't know about, you know, some of the Penguins' history is when they made a coaching change in, what was it, 08 or 09, Dan Bylsma came in and won them the cup. So, and then they made a coaching change from Dan Bylsma, no, it was from Mike Johnson to Mike Sullivan, like a month into the season, and that's when Sullivan took them to the cup, won them the cup in 15 and 16. So hopefully there's no coaching change, because if that happens, we know their history and they might be, you know, just all of a sudden a phenomenal team, which we don't want any challenges from Crosby and Malkin for our Tampa Bay Lightning, especially if we don't have Cooch in the lineup. But yeah. So, yeah, we got some good hockey going on. We expect the play to amp up even more. We expect the star players to get even better. So it's going to be exciting to watch over the next coming weeks and months. But for now, we're going to go to a quick commercial break. We're going to check out the Bar Down Breakdown. And once we come back from that, we'll be talking some Tampa Bay Lightning games.
Did you know that your favorite band also loves your favorite hockey team? If you love hockey and you love music, you're going to love Bar Down Breakdown, a podcast that explores the crossover between alternative music and the sport we love, hockey.
Every NHL player wants to be in a band, and every band guy wants to be a pro athlete.
With guests from all over the globe, come along with us as we interview some of the most captivating names in alternative music and talk about why we love hockey and how it's influenced us.
You know, there was for a few seconds, the thought of like, well, maybe we should wear a Montreal jersey. Then the NHL was like, I think you should stay neutral. And we're like, yeah, you know what? You're probably right.
So tune in every Tuesday on the Hockey Podcast Network, where we'll have a brand new guest and a unique look into the bridge between hockey and music.
And we are back. If you enjoyed that sneak peek at the Bar Down Breakdown, make sure to go check it out. Their 100th episode is dropping, so congratulations to them. You can find their show on thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or anywhere you get your podcast under the banner of the Hockey Podcast Network. All right, Chase, we talked about how we're going to look at some Tampa Bay Lightning games. While I misspoke, we're going to look at some Tampa Bay Lightning game, because they've only played one that we have not talked about. It was, of course, against the Chicago Blackhawks. Not really surprising as we take this one. We said in our last episode that we expected that to be the result. It exactly was. It was, you know, a solid game, but, you know, nothing too special. We knew how it was going to play out, and it played out exactly how we thought. 5-2 in our favor.
Yeah, I mean, it was just another good game by our Tampa Bay Lightning. It's obviously a clearly talented roster. We all know that. This team is similar to last year, missing a couple of guys. Even with Kucherov out of the lineup, this is still a hard team to beat, especially with, you know, kind of in this like division that they're in. I don't think there's too much competition. So getting to play a team like Chicago 8 times a year, a team like Detroit 8 times a year, we're really benefiting from that. But it was a really good all around game. I'm happy Stamkos is looking as great as he is so far. Vasilevsky, you know, he played a great game yet again, as usual. You know, what a surprise. He ended up making 35 saves and 37 shots. That exact save percentage would be a .946. You know, it was just a really good, like, I can't, you know, say anybody had a bad game one way or another. I'd say, you know, everybody really chipped in. You know, the whole lineup was really going. It's been like that through the first two games of the season. The team has really just been looking really good.
Yeah, and I fully expect that to continue, because if you have not heard, the Dallas matchups both got postponed. Our next game is not until Thursday against the Columbus Blue Jackets. We get a 6-day break from Friday, our last game against the Chicago Blackhawks, to Thursday. I expect this team to be at practice, going hard, trying to beef up the chemistry even more. The team looks great now. I can only imagine what they look like with another 6 days of extra practice.
Yeah, you know, it's going to be great. It kind of works out pretty well this way. You know, it's going to be weird. I'm trying to add in the games. I think they're going to do it at the end of the year, or if there's another somehow like gap. But it kind of works out for Tampa, you know, having the shortest offseason. It was just a weird kind of recovery time. And this is just a good break. They can practice, you know, get a little more familiar with each other. Then they get to have a big training camp. This is going to be a good thing.
Absolutely. And a team that already looks good, I think 6 days of practice is only going to help, especially because when we look at the Chicago Blackhawks, they're not the best team, you know. So being able to get those extra days of practice before we go in our stretch against Nashville, Carolina, Dallas, you know, once Dallas hopefully gets healthy and they're able to start playing, I think we're going to need that little extra chemistry. And, hey, the power play is going to look great after the practice, because 0-4 on the power play against the Chicago Blackhawks on Friday, you know that John Cooper is going to be pounding the power play in practice this week.
You know, that's something Tampa had a lot of issues with in the playoffs and last year too. A team that's so good, just not having a top-end power play, was kind of frustrating. Like, it was still a really good power play, but there were so many games where, oh, you know, like, I think they went like 9 games without a power play goal last year, if I remember right. But then all of a sudden they started scoring in bunches, and it helped kind of even out those numbers. But, like, it's always been an issue with this team is the power play is, like, it has all the talent in the world but doesn't always produce. So, hopefully, yeah, this week of practice, they can kind of figure something out and just execute to perfection going forward.
Yep, absolutely. And, Chase, you've already mentioned his name, Steven Stamkos. I was a little concerned coming into the season. Obviously, he's had injury problems over the past couple of seasons. We know he's a great player, and we've even started to talk about, and it's kind of crazy to start talking about this early, but with all the phenomenal names that we're going to have to start paying in a couple years from now, obviously Braden Point and Cirelli both on bridge deals, going to have to get them some big boy money soon. We even started talking about maybe Stamkos will have to get moved. And that's something that I think was a little premature on our end. However, it's something you look forward to when you're looking at a team overall and their success now, but also success in the future. But boy, oh boy, has Stamkos looked absolutely phenomenal this year.
Yeah, you know, I definitely don't want him going anywhere, but if it's what you got to do, it's what you got to do. I'm personally, like, you know, I'm on the player's sides, but in terms of like moves like that, I'm always going to be on the team side, because that's the kind of I'm trying to be in that field anyway. You know, I'm trying to go into like actual NHL, like team management. So like, if it's going to be for the betterment of the team, like, you got to do what you got to do. If that means trading away a star player, trading away a captain, you got to do what you got to do. Don't want to see him go anywhere. He's playing great yet again, as you mentioned, as I've mentioned. He's looking like he's, you know, really back up to shape. But, you know, if he gets hurt again, it's just going to complicate things even further. So you just got to hope he stays healthy and hope that somehow it can all be figured out where he doesn't have to go anywhere.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just cannot wait to see him back out there on the ice on Thursday against the Columbus Blue Jackets, hopefully continuing his hot start. But Chase, we will now move into some rookie talk, as I think we start off with one guy right off the bat. 4 points already through 2 games, 1 overtime winner. Guy has looked absolutely phenomenal. And he's on Minnesota, a team that you and I both thought last year was just probably the biggest snooze fest in the whole NHL.
Not just last year, every year. We always thought, you know, just a boring-ass team in Minnesota, because they don't play an exciting game. The West, it's getting better, but the West hasn't been the most exciting hockey, you know, like in the last 15 years, I'd say. It's definitely getting better and better as the whole game's just getting more skilled. But Minnesota, they have probably one of my favorite, like, young development systems, you know, with Kirill Kaprizov finally in the NHL having a big start. They have Matthew Boldy, of course. They have Alexander Kovanov. You know, those are three guys I think are going to be, like, legitimate superstars in the league. Alexander Kovanov, that kid's criminally underrated. Wait till you see him in the NHL. Wait till you see what he does. It's stupid. So Minnesota, they could be a just really damn fun team to watch going forward. And, I mean, they have been so far. Kaprizov, overtime goal, game one. Overtime assist in game two. 4 points through 2 games. He's just killing it.
Yeah, and Chase, you told me about his nickname. I'll let you repeat that here in just a second, but the guy has been absolutely money.
Yeah, that nickname that you just mentioned, Dollar Bill Kirill, you know, a little hint to what you said, money there. I don't know which teammate said it, but they're interviewing after game one, And the teammate said, they were asked about the overtime goal, and they said, that's why we nicknamed him Dollar Bill Kirill. I laughed so hard. That was so funny. That was so perfect. I love it. Hope that's actually what they call him, because that's fantastic.
Yeah, and this might be a little premature, but I'm ready to say it now. Maybe we can get the opinions of the Soda Pod boys. But Kirill, already the best player on Minnesota. Already, I'm saying it. Putting my fizz down.
I could possibly get there. It's two NHL games. He's been fantastic. He's been the best player outside of the NHL for the last, 5 years anyway. So it's not far-fetched, but it's hard to get there right now for me, but I don't know who else I'd argue either.
Yeah, so having a Artemi Panarin like impact already. However, I think I'm gonna like Kirill a lot better than Panarin going on, because obviously Panarin started with Chicago. Not a Chicago fan, sorry, but just never been a Chicago fan. So that kind of dropped Panarin a little bit, and then he went to Columbus, which they're a team where it's they're okay, but not a huge fan. Then he went to New York, teamed up with Zibanejad. Really like him over there. But I think Kirill, I'm going to like him throughout. I mean, to make a team like Minnesota actually interesting and to make me actually want to watch Minnesota is something huge. So I'm loving Kirill.
Yeah, I'm saying, dude, I look forward to seeing the rest of the year. He was my preseason pick for the Calder for a reason. He just got supreme talent. He's a legitimate goal scorer. He's a legitimate playmaker. He's just a really damn good player offensively. He's going to be the relied on guy going forward. He's already averaging 20 minutes a night. As a rookie forward, regardless of age, it's impressive.
Absolutely. All right, Chase, let's move on to another player, another rookie. Let's go with my pick for the Calder, and that would be Tim Stützle. He scored his first goal last night.
Yeah, it was a nice shot too. It was just a rocket of a 1T kind of. He's a just special hockey player. He really is. I'm so happy he's able to play this year. Still makes no sense to me, but I'm not getting into that anymore. He can really be that catalyst that Ottawa team needs to help. He's going to be the catalyst that team needs to help finish that rebuild. This year is not going to be it, but in a year or two, once it all gets figured out, we talked about it before, it's going to be a really good hockey team headed by this guy, Tim Stützle. He's just a fantastic player, and he doesn't look out of place at all already.
Yeah, absolutely. He looks great. And the two players that went above him, Alexi Lafreniere, he's played two games so far, has nothing on the score sheet. And Quentin Byfield, he's not even in the NHL. So, I mean, I don't want to bring this up, but I think, as a journalist, I have to. Tim Stützle should have been the first overall pick.
No, shut the hell up. Jesus. No.
It's my duty as a journalist. I have to bring up the heat.
You see, you're like the type of reporter that Jacob Voracek yells at in the post-game interviews. we didn't even talk about that. Oh, my God. That was probably the funniest thing I've ever seen. Because, I've seen coaches like Torts get mad. You don't see players get mad very often at reporters, but when players do, it's funny. So if anyone didn't see it, Jacob Voracek was getting mad at reporters asking him a question, and he didn't want to answer because I think the guy wrote about how he's kind of like a bad team player, bad defensive player a couple years ago, and Voracek doesn't like that. You're writing a shitty article about him, and now you're calling him out. I don't remember exactly what he said, but he said something along the lines of, anything you write is fucking shit, just like on the live post game Zoom call. It's like, oh, all right. We weren't expecting that. I think it was Travis Sanheim next to him. How do you sit there and just not laugh? I would burst out laughing. I wouldn't be able to hold it in.
Well, I think the funny part was you saw Travis Sanheim start to smile a little bit when the next reporter came up. He's like, all right, moving on. This one's for Sanheim. And you saw Sanheim smirk. A little bit. I thought it was hilarious as well. But I'm not calling players bad. I'm just bringing up the question based on production thus far. So
I'm just talking about bad writers.
Well, bad reporters. I don't know anything about that.
Bad reporters.
I don't know anything about that either, because I'm great.
Okay, noob.
Tim Stützle out to a hot start. Hopefully we see Alexi Lafreniere pick it up. But, I mean, the whole New York Ranger team has to pick it up because it's not going so hot there.
No, it's really not. It's just a train wreck. Hopefully Laff can get his first goal, first point coming up soon. Cameron Miller, you know, another guy, he's a rookie who there's a lot of expectations on. Hopefully he can pick it up. But really the whole team, Tony D'Angelo was skating with the taxi squad at some point during practices. I don't know what the whole deal is as of today, but I remember that was a thing. Jack Johnson is the worst player in the NHL right now. I will very, very safely say that. But he continues to get ice time. He was playing, you know, like top pair in their practice after his brutal game one. I don't understand what that team's doing. They're really going down the shitter. You know, had high expectations for him. But the fact that they're going to rely on Jack Johnson that much, I want to change up all my expectations.
Yeah, for sure. And I don't know how I feel about Jack Johnson. Like, obviously, when his parents stole all his money, like, that's shitty. That's really shitty. If you don't know about that story, look it up. Just Jack Johnson. What is it? Had to file for bankruptcy. That's what it is.
Yep.
That was just a shitty situation, and it makes me feel bad for the guy. But he's really not a good hockey player. So, like, it hurts me to be like, oh, he shouldn't be in the league, because I think there should be some type of reparation where he gets, you know, some of his money back after it was stolen by his own family. But, like, he's just bad.
No, he's horrible. Like, I said that before, you know, I'd be fine with him. I was fine with him getting a couple paydays, but, you know, it's at the point where he still has a shit ton more money than I do. So, like, you know, I don't feel as bad. He's got to have a long NHL career. He can have a career in coaching or management or scouting or something when he retires, because that's what happens when you play in the league that long. So he's still going to be able to make his money. Sure, it sucks you don't have as much money as you should. You got to, so you got to, it's hard to say about your parents, but you got to learn who to trust and who not to trust. Me personally, if I was in the situation, I'm the only one touching my money. No one's touching my money. I would know how to handle that. I know some players, they don't know how to handle their money. That's why they have people do it. But then you get situations like that. But regardless, beside the point, he's not good anymore. He should not be in the NHL, but he's going to be for at least this year, probably even next year.
Well, you know that I'm going to tell Mary Jo and Al now that you think they're thieves, right?
Sure, that works.
All right, Chase, let's talk about two more rookies before we hop off here. We'll start off with Nils Höglander. Has one goal on the season through three games, but he's averaging over 18 minutes of ice time. Guy is being relied on.
Because he's sick. He is someone that I loved in his draft cycle. He plays this really hard game, but he has the sickest hands you've ever seen. It's incredible. You know, it's like someone like, for example, like Sean Thornton. I have a longtime NHL grinder, tough guy. He had some of the best hands in the league, but he never used them because that wasn't his role. Where Nils Höglander, you know, he plays not as physical, but pretty close to his physical. But his role is to score, so he shows off those hands. He's, you know, he scores all those sick lacrosse goals. We saw them last year, him playing in the Swedish league. He's going to score a lot of highlight goals in his NHL career. He's going to be a crazy legitimate threat. Vancouver, they have a really nice player on their team. They have a really nice team in general going forward.
Yeah, absolutely. Nils Höglander, an absolute beauty. But Chase, we'll talk about one more rookie, unless you want to talk about a couple more. But I think there's some pretty good names out there. I'll let you pick who we want to talk about.
All right, so if I had to talk about one more, honestly, the one guy that I think I would really want to talk about is Ty Smith. So Ty Smith, the New Jersey Devils, I think end of the season, he's going to be their best defenseman. Like, it'll be realized. I thought he was going to be in the NHL last year. I thought there was a chance he was going to make it as an 18-year-old, honestly. It shocked me that it took him as long as it did. But here he is finally, two games, 2 points, you know, playing 17 minutes a night. He's gonna be on their top D pair soon enough. He'll be in the top four probably by next week, honestly. He is a fantastic defenseman. He is incredibly gifted offensively, incredibly gifted defensively. He's a team, like, he has the potential to be a team's true number one defenseman, in my honest thought. And New Jersey, like, that's something that they really need right now. They, you know, they need some supplemental scoring up front with their tremendous center core they have, and then they need some reliable defense. And they've got maybe their future goalie with Mackenzie Blackwood, who I personally love. And Ty Smith is really showing that this team is trending in the right direction.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think Jack Hughes has started off to a really nice start as well. But we already see the production out of Ty Smith, 2 points through two games. He's played 17 minutes of ice time, just above that, for the last couple or for his first two games. And then he is a plus three in the plus minus category. So Ty Smith doing very well, the former 17th overall pick. Very exciting to watch him and his production. But Chase, quickly, real quick, we got to talk about Alexander Romanov because I just love him.
Yeah, you know, he is great. The way he plays the game is really unique because he has offensive upside, but he's a freaking hard hitter. He plays the game in a mean way, but he will score a lot of points for Montreal. He's got an assist so far through two games. I haven't really had the opportunity to see Montreal play yet. That's going to be the issue. We're not going to be able to see the Canadian teams play too much. Kind of sucks, but I mean, he's played almost 19 minutes on average a night. Solid start. He's going to soon be their, number one, number two defenseman by the end of the year. Would not shock me at all. He's just a really fun player. He's going to be someone that I think it becomes a fan favorite.
Absolutely. And I just love the way he plays, his mentality, because he's not a huge guy. He's only 5'11", yet, like you said, just a giant hitter. Guy is awesome. You're going to be able to see him put up points. You're going to be able to see him lock down other forwards and then also just put a big old frickin' check on someone. So absolutely love that kid. Had to just mention his name because anytime I see his name, I just want to talk about him. He's so good. But
that's fair.
That is going to do it for the episode. Quickly, we're going to do a hockey name of the day, and then we're going to hop out of here. All right, let's try this one. Chase, we have Ben Zargash.
Just Ben Zargai, and these names, you don't pronounce the J as a J. It's
J. It's not an I.
Okay,
it's
you
Zargash.
Know what?
All right,
you know what?
Let me talk to his family. Let me talk to his parents because they don't know their last name. It's Zargash.
All right, so I don't know if you remember this guy at all. Do you remember the story about the guy who wrote an email to Elite Prospects asking them to update his page and profile and saying that he was retiring and stuff and saying that, he was playing D2 hockey, but he's just for the boys, blah, blah, blah. Do you remember that story at all?
I do not.
Alrighty. I'll find the tweet. I'll send it to you after, but so it's this guy. I'll tweet it out with the podcast too. But there was a kind of funny story for anybody that follows Elite Prospects kind of heavily. I'm sure you remember it, but yeah, Ben, he's a retired goalie now. He's 22 years old, born just a couple months after me, month and a half, really. June 10th, 1998. Played at Norwich, which is ACHA Division 2. Not a very good goalie. In 13 games in his final season, he had a 4.28 and an 8.17 save. Got one shutout in there, so, good on him for that. But nothing special of a player. Just a name that I remember, and I knew you were going to pronounce the J like that, and I kind of want to just talk about his story, just because it was just a funny thing, and I'll make sure to tweet it out with the podcast link so people can see it.
Well, I mean, I think I'd retire too for the boys because, just such great times with the boys. I go golfing, have a couple beers, So, hey, Ben, I totally understand what you did there. And hats off to you, brother. If you want to retire from hockey just to, drink some brewskis and play golf with the boys, completely understand it.
Listen to this tagline on his page real quick before we move on, before we move on to the end. It's where it usually has the scouting reports on the prospects. It says mediocre career, but loves the boys and the boys love him.
You know what? That's what I want my legacy to go down as.
That's fantastic.
That is. All right. Well, that's going to do it for the episode. We'll have Chase let you all know. Let y'all know. Did you see that? I'm country now.
Okay.
Chase will let everyone know how you guys are able to support us if you'd like to, as well as where to find all the updates for our pages.
Yeah, so as always, I'm going to thank you guys for listening. If you'd like to become a patron on Patreon, we'd really appreciate it. It's just a different avenue to get some other hockey podcast network info and products, I guess. Content is the word. That's the word I just cannot think of. Content. To get some Hockey Pod Network content. If you want to support us that way, yet again, we'd really appreciate it. You want to follow us on Twitter at Bolts Broadcast. That is at Bolts Broadcast. Follow the Hockey Podcast Network on Twitter at Hockey Pod Net. That's at Hockey Pod Net. There's another jersey giveaway going on. It's a bracket style this time. So you vote on which jersey you like best and they move on. The winning jersey, I'm pretty sure it works how the last one did. The winning team's podcast gets to give it out. So if you want a Tampa jersey, make sure you're getting everybody to vote Tampa as the best. Get all your friends and, you know, you can have a chance to win. So, but while you're at it, if you're interested in any football talk at all and some other hockey talk we'll do once the offseason kicks in on that, you can find us over at WNP Sports Pod on Twitter at WNP Sports Pod. You know, as of right now, as just mentioned, we're doing a lot of football talk, playoffs still going on, and we'll do plenty of, you know, football, the pre-draft and free agency stuff too. If you want to check out the hockeypodcastnetwork.com, you can find all the podcasts of the network right there. Boom, click the logo, listen easy peasy lemon squeezy. Wherever listening, rate us 5 stars, send us your questions, comments, concerns, email me, you can knock on my door, and you know what, you can just send me an edible arrangement. How's that sound?
We'll just make sure to send Chase's address out there with the new episode so that if you do want to knock on his door or send him an edible arrangement, you can do that easy peasy lemon squeezy, like you say, Chase. So,
like I said,
yeah. That's going to do it for the episode. We want to thank you for coming out and giving us a listen. So that's it. We'll talk to you next time.